the lesson of this week, and we'll see it after we read the comic that comes out today, but the lesson of this week is I told you so. Can we agree?
I mean, I don't know what we told anybody so about, so I'm not sure I can agree.
Literally in the last couple of issues, I was like, Kurt, you're playing with fire. You're playing with fire. The girl is going to turn on you. Like, what are you doing? Like, look at your life. Look at your choices. And what happens? Spoiler alert, guys. I know we just started this in 50. We're only like less than a minute into this whole episode. But spoiler alert, stop now if you haven't read Uncanny Spider-Man number 4. She turns on him.
Wow. Crazy concept.
I know. Well, anyway, hi, guys. Welcome back to Simply Amazing. I'm Lisa, aka the OG Nocturne. And then, of course, we have Lauren, the wonderful, fabulous. Oh, crap, why are there things going off? Stop making sound.
Lisa is so popular. She's making everybody and everything go off right now.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's like, oh, my God. But, yeah, so Lauren's here with me as well. And we're going to talk about Uncanny Spider-Man number 4, which why did we get 3 issues in 1 month? That seems like a lot.
I don't know. I think they were just like, fuck, we have to get these issues out before X-Men Blue. I think that was the rush. Because, yeah, it's definitely like normally a book like this, I feel like we get put off because they'd be like, eh, we can't put it out. No problem. We don't give a shit. But they're like, X-Men Blue. Like, even in towards the end of this issue, you know, they're even like, and they did, as in talk, as in Kurt and Mystique. Check out, you know, the X-Men Blue, or like they're really hyping this shit up. So it's really starting to make me worried. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Yeah, I tweeted out for people's predictions and for X-Men Blue, which again comes out today, the day you are listening to this right now, that comes out, and we will definitely have an episode about it soon, and you will just, you know, if you live in the United States and you notice there's like an atomic bomb goes out off in the Northwest or the Northeast, I'm sorry, Northeast, that's just me not approving of X-Men Blue Origins, so
yeah, I hear that.
Yeah. So, but we're not talking about that right now, although it is out today. So go read it because we're reading it right now as you speak. Like we're reading it and rereading it and, you know, deciding whether or not we like this whole situation. But yeah, so let's talk about Uncanny Spider-Man number 4. We start out with the real Spider-Man, Peter Parker Spider-Man, hanging out at a anti-mutant rally where for some reason they've like taken a pizza guy. I didn't understand the significance of the pizza guy.
I didn't either. In terms of like why is I feel like, listen, a lot of the stuff at the beginning between like Peter Parker Spider-Man and Kurt, I guess. I felt like it was Spurrier trying too hard to act like he understood the spider people. And he doesn't because, yeah, like the whole what was the point of the pizza person? And then this whole shit that like I feel like we won't get an answer to, or if we do, it's going to be a very unsatisfying answer, is why is it that that robot thinks Sentinel, whatever Tony Stark ass shit it is, why is it that it doesn't think Kurt is a mutant? But then, spoiler alert, it thinks that Peter Parker is a mutant. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's kind of funny too, because so here's something kind of interesting about that situation. I feel like that kind of there's a hint of an answer to that later on in the issue that we'll get to, which basically I'll just get to it right now. Like, I mean, essentially later on in the issue, they say that, wow, it seems like the Sentinels pick out people who are making trouble more than they pick out mutants, which maybe that's what it is like, it's not just about picking out mutants, but about, you know, breeding compliance. And like, you know, Peter, like the mob was doing the good work that the Sentinel wanted it to do, which was like be anti-mutant and like make noise about being anti-mutant. And Peter was trying to like tamp that down. So the best way to turn the mob on him would be to be like, oh, but he's a mutant, by the way. So there could be like a gaslighting kind of thing underneath it where it's just like anybody who, you know, is seen as the enemy suddenly becomes a mutant and suddenly becomes a reason to hate. But that's, mm-hmm. I don't know, but we'll see how that goes. I mean, there's only one issue left on this, so who knows how much more time they have to wrap it up. But the interesting thing I will say is that Kurt, like, deliberately stays out of the mutant bullshit. Like, yeah. even like his little, like, Banff guy is like, don't you want to go? Like, then he's like, no, not my circus, not my monkeys. And it reminds me a lot of, there was an episode of X-Men Evolution where all of the X-Men got outed as mutants because they were all, like, they were in this huge battle with the Brotherhood that got televised. And so everybody in the high school knew that they were mutants. The only one that didn't get outed was Nightcrawler because he wears his image inducer. So nobody mm-hmm. knew that, like, the German kid in school is that blue guy on the TV. And he actually made the choice in the show to distance himself from the other mutants and, like, kind of live in anonymity a little bit longer. By the end of the episode, he doesn't. But, I mean, he, like, reveals himself. But I always thought that was not outside of his character to do something like that. Like, he's an incredibly selfless person, but I feel like he can come mm-hmm. to a point where he's like, okay, I have an opportunity here to live life in a way that, like, I never thought possible, and I'm just going to take that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, this issue confuses me. But I think it just goes to, I feel confident in standing my ground with kind of how I started this series, where a lot of people were very excited. They're like, wow, Kurt's back, and maybe Spurrier isn't throwing shit around like he was before. And to me, a lot of this issue still says Spurrier continues to throw shit around. I don't know why the editorial was like, write more Kurt, dude. But apparently the books are selling, so maybe we need to question ourselves, including myself. I don't know. But it definitely isn't feeling as fun as it did the first issue, let me tell you that.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fun is definitely, like, I'm still enjoying the swashbuckleriness of it, and I'm enjoying, mm-hmm. like, seeing Kurt as Spider-Man, because he does make a great Spider-Man. He just does.
He does, but I feel like now that's going away, in terms of, like, I'm trying to remember, I'm pretty sure I saw a solicit that Kurt is going to go back to the X-Men after this run. Ugh. Yeah, which it's like, the X-Men are a mess still too. I know I'm talking way off topic from where you are actually talking about the issue, but, like, that's just kind of where I am right now. I feel like this issue, like, again, it's just a confusing one, because I'm like, I can see some reasoning why, like, Kurt says or acts this way in this issue. And then I'm also on the other end of, but I also still feel like that could have been done better, or why they have to get to this point. But I don't know. I'm ready for this to get wrapped up, and I'm ready to judge X-Men Blue Origins. I'm ready to judge Marvel Editorial and Cy Spurrier together. Because again, I am not a fan of only blaming the writer. Editorial is the barrier, guys. Okay. If editorial doesn't cut something out, then they are just as much to blame, if not more, depending on the situation. So we're also going to blame them.
Yes. I mean, I'm having, like, PTSD flashbacks to the Draco, and, like, how we all felt right before the Draco, and, like, this is going to be great. We're going to find out Nightcrawler's father. It's going to be amazing. So yeah, this is going to be interesting, how this all shakes out. I'm very excited to see what they end up deciding to do. So anyway, Spider-Man. So basically, in the middle of all of this hoopla with these anti-mutant bigots and the Spider-Men, suddenly Mystique shows up with a bazooka. She literally has a bazooka.
You know, and she just does that. I mean,
I stan a well-armed queen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she had the Constitution gives her the right to bear arms, and God damn it, if she is not going to bear them.
Listen, I'm with you, and I will completely say this. I feel like we were robbed of getting to see Mystique wreak havoc in this series. I feel like we were robbed of that shit. Like, what? I want to see more of her just like, oh, Kurt chopped up this gun. Well, I got three more here, and I'm going to go blow some assholes up. Bye. Like, that sounds hilarious.
I would love a book where just Mystique, it's like, just call it like Mystique's Mayhem. And it's just her.
Yeah.
Throughout. I would love a book where it's like every arc is her at a different time point in history, in recent history, and like what she was doing during that time, you know?
Facts. Completely.
And it's like, you know, and like they'll have, there'll be a one single issue where like during the JFK assassination, she was actually at home, like eating, like she was at home, like, and she's just watching it on TV and she's like, oh shit, they're going to think I had something to do with this. But yeah, no, I would love like Mystique running amok across history and just like fucking things up with her bazookas. But yeah, so Mystique shows up with a bazooka and Kurt's like, okay, this is my circus. This one's my monkey. I got to fucking take care of this one at least. And he's, you know, going after her. He, this is so fucking, he catches, that's one thing. He catches the missile from the bazooka. Okay. All right, Sai. All right. All right.
All right, Sai. Anyway. Okay.
Listen, he, it's hard to argue because he did teleport a moon, but that was also when he was like hopped up on Madison Jeffries. Or whatever that guy's name is. Is that his name? Madison Jeffries? No, what's that guy's name?
I don't fucking know. Listen, that's how little I paid attention to the other people on this issue. I don't care.
It's not Madison Jeffries. I know that because I don't think that's even, I don't know what that even is.
I think it's a great new name you made up. You know, maybe that name will be useful one day.
No, he's an Alpha Flight guy. It's
damn, sorry, Alpha Flight people. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Like, RIP. Who's the stupid guy who was like poor little rich boy who was like the Brazilian little rich boy who like we were crying about in Way of X? He was like in, I don't remember, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Oh, that fucker. I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name because he sucks.
He does suck. Anyway, you can tell us from there. Just tweet at us and let us know, you know, what it is. But anyway, so, you know, he has to go after Mystique to help her and to help. And, you know, Spider-Man's still trying to help the pizza guy. And Spider-Man like takes a moment to be like, oh my God, does that bitch have a bazooka? And then Kurt decides to explain how she's able to make orifices to hide weapons. And it's just like, all right, TMI. Like some stuff can just stay in the family, Kurt. Like we don't need to hear about her orifices. Nobody, the only one who needs to know about Mystique's orifices are Destiny. And she knows.
Oh, correct. Absolutely, no. Lisa. I'm so glad you understand.
Trust, she knows. All right. So anyway, he manages to kind of like pull her aside and try to like have a talk with her or he chases after her. But while he's chasing after her, they have this weird like conversation that's just like it's just in script form where she's just talking about like she's not stupid. She knows she's not in Germany. She knows she's in New York. But like she has this pain and trauma and Kurt's like, you don't have pain and trauma. I'm the baby. And she's like, you're stupid. I don't like you. I'm leave me alone. And this is just kind of funny because like she keeps being like, leave me alone. And it's like, but you're the one arguing with me. You're the one who keeps showing up at my place of work with a bazooka. Like you leave me alone.
Wait, well, I got you bring up showing up at work with bazooka. And that remind me of one of the few episodes in Buffy Vampire Slayer season 7 that is actually enjoyable. Like I can still rewatch it because it's funny. And it's the one where they all get put under the spell because this like high school boys like Letterman jacket, it's like enchanted or some shit. So it makes everyone go like crazy for him. And so it was so funny because at one point they're all like trying to compete to like prove who is more worthy of his love, which is stupid. And so at one point, Buffy literally takes a bazooka to the high school and is about to blow up the principal. And then you have to see the others like try to wrestle it from her. It's pretty fucking funny.
I mean, classic Buffy was something else. Like, oh, go back to the first season and watch the hyena episode. It is.
Oh God. That one hurts. No, like, I don't want to watch that one again, Lisa.
Between that episode and the praying mantis episode, it's like, how did this show get a second season? But oh my God, that show was lit back in the day.
It
was, like,
deserved it though. Even though we had to watch those episodes.
That's true. So anyway, you know, they have their little trauma bonding where she keeps saying, leave me alone. And then we go back to Silver Sable, who's talking with Vulture, and he's got a bunch of hounds there with him. And, you know, essentially, the hounds are starting to pick up on Kurt's scent on her, which is like, I mean, yeah, like she's been well buffed. So she is full of his scent.
She's been full of him, too. I mean, what?
Yep. And she kind of makes a decision that, like, so basically Vulture is like, you know, you only get paid if you bring him in, and I don't think you're going to bring him in, so I'm not too worried about that. And so she actually kind of makes a decision, maybe we're going to cancel the contract, and she's going to tell him about it when they're having their like dinner on top of the Brooklyn Bridge, which is so fucking classic Spider-Man. That is just That is very classic Spider-Man. Just doing anything on the Brooklyn Bridge is like, that's Spider-Man to me.
It is. I completely agree. And totally. This whole scene, like, I'm very mixed about, because I think there are valid things about it. And I'm also just like, what the fuck? Because, you know, she's all like feeling sad for him and shit. And I need to tell you something. And he's like, he is emo as shit in this scene, basically, which I think that's actually the valid part. I don't think Kurt is defined by his bad moments, but I think he still has bad moments just like any of us. Right. And so the fact that he's like, no, this should be better. And, you know, all this shit I've done for the mutants, and this is where it got me. It's interesting to see Silver Sable basically try to ground him, but not ground him in like, you know, oh, it's going to be okay, or like some fantasy. She's just straight up like, too bad, you don't get the break. As much as you may deserve it, or maybe you should get a break, you don't, because you're a good person. You actually give a shit. You get no breaks. And love isn't all you need. And so that comment particularly was interesting to me, where she says, love isn't all you need, to Kurt of all characters. Like, how do we feel about that for a character like Kurt?
Yeah, it's... I imagine that Kurt spent a lot of his childhood being told that, like, love, like, I feel like, I'm sure that, like being someone who was so different from everybody else, you know, he was, so some of the things that we know that are canon, we know that Margali did love him as a child, to the point where there was, like, which showed up in the Nightcrawler series, like, to the point where there was like a little bit of a jealousy between Stefan and him. So he was very well loved. And I wonder if he's one of those people who, like, he is one of those people who's always had that love conquers all kind of attitude of like, you know, love will always find a way. And, you know, I mean, his favorite movies are romantic movies and silly, with the damsel in distress. And like, they always end the same way, with the guy getting the girl and everybody living happily ever after. So, right. And she makes a point where it's kind of like, you know, like you're talking about all this stuff you want to do in the future. Like, we need to get through the next 10 minutes, and we don't even have a plan for that. So this is getting more serious than it should. We need to talk about it. We need to figure this shit out. And like, he won't even let her get a word in it. Like, I get the idea in the beginning of the conversation that he's purposefully trying to avoid her having a serious conversation with him, because he knows that it's not going to lead anywhere positive. So that's why he keeps throwing out other things to talk about, while she's like, okay, no, we need to fucking talk. I need to talk to you about something. But you know, she gets called away before she can even like say anything. And, you know, she's like, I'll see you later. I need to see you. And he's like, with the helmet on or helmet off. And she's like, well, I'm going to pretend you didn't say that. Cause it was kind of a rude thing to say, Kurt. It was kind of a rude thing to say.
It's funny because, yeah, like, I read that and I was like, ooh, that was the wrong thing to say, my dude. But I also am imagining her asking that very genuinely. I don't think he actually would say that passive aggressively. Like, it can be, like, other characters totally would. I think he genuinely is just like, okay, but what should I expect? And of course, it doesn't matter what he intends or if that he was genuine, it's still a little slap to the face.
Yeah. And the other big thing is, like, she's like, I'm going to pretend you didn't say that. And it's like, okay, like, that was a very rude thing to say, Kurt, but also you're fucking right on the money, because
he is. Like, he's right on the fucking money. Like
you and Danger Girl, like, she's coming for you. Like, it's not going to be good. It is not going to be good at all. And so Kurt goes off to do his little Spider-Man-y thingy, and Silver Sable goes out, and she ends up running into her, I don't know, some guy, one of her guys, and she's like, well, I'm going to cancel our contract. He's like, absolutely not, because we got mouths to feed back home in whatever our country's called. So we're going to get this guy. Right. And meanwhile, at the same time, Mystique, Nightcrawler finds Mystique talking about her poor blue baby. And he's like, we need to talk. And then there's the bump, bump, bump. And they do, which is like, yada, 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 right over the big talk, which is going to happen, of course, today in the issue that comes out today, X-Men Origins X-Men Blue Origins, whatever the frick it's called.
Listen, I'm stressed because, and I'm also annoyed because they throw that in there. So I'm like, okay, I need X-Men Blue. But like when we record this, we don't have it yet. When you guys hear this, it will be out. And so I'm here like, okay, I don't care what happens next in Uncanny Spider-Man right now. I need that issue. Like, I want to read that before I see more Uncanny Spider-Man. But you don't get that because then you turn the page in this issue and Uncanny Spider-Man continues after he's apparently already spoken to Mystique. And I'm here annoyed about that.
Yes. So we don't see anything. We don't know anything. All we know now is Silver Sable is hanging out in his little church bell area. And when he shows up, he's like, you know, what do you want to tell me? And of course, she's like, I'm sorry, because she ratted him out. She gave him away. She, you know, he got, you know, he got did in. That's it. It's done. It's over. He's been captured now.
I think it's interesting that when he comes in, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I missed it in our issue, his eyes are glowing. So he's teleported in after having talked to Mystique, supposedly. And also, supposedly, this is Kerr, you know, and not someone we think. And his eyes are glowing. Whose eyes have glown before in the dark and shit? Not Kurt's, to my knowledge.
So interesting that you say if this is Kurt, because that is something that has come up in the speculation online, that this is not Kurt that he captured. It's actually Mystique in disguise. And okay, well, let's talk about that next page where they bring Kurt in and they're like, okay, so are we sure that this is him? Because his mother is a shapeshifter. How can we be sure? And so they check his mitochondrial DNA. Which, okay, I thought that was an interesting choice. So they check his mitochondrial DNA and his regular DNA, and they're like, oh, it's all a match, right? And then they make the point that the mitochondria is passed down through the mother. Are we sure it's not Mystique? And they're like, no, he's got the Y chromosome as well. So it's got to be, it's whatever a boy would be that has Mystique's DNA, basically. So it's got to be him, right? So, okay, a couple things. Number one, if it turned out this is Mystique, I'm like, I'm caught up on the biology of it all. And I'm sorry, because if Mystique turns out to have been his father who actually fathered him, then they would not share mitochondrial DNA. And I'm stuck on that. I'm stuck on that. So, you know,
that's fair. And also, when you said the mitochondria, my brain finished it with is the powerhouse of the cell.
That is... Everybody, that's what everybody knows. It's so funny because, like, I'm taking anatomy and physiology now, to go back to school. And my brother is a PA, and I was like, oh, test me on the cell. And he's like, what's the mitochondria? And literally all I could think of was, oh, it's the powerhouse of the cell.
Of course. Like,
as long as that gets me an A, that's all I care. That's all I care.
Yeah. But I mean, listen, I kind of saw this coming from the start. I think I said it, but if I didn't, then I'm not going to say I said it. But this is going to be messy. Whatever they are doing with Kurt's parentage, whether we all like the result of it or we don't, it's going to be a mess. Whatever. Yes. And because they're only doing it because they're not even fixing, like, this Uncanny Spider-Man hasn't done anything. Only X-Men Blue Origins, quote, is supposed to do that. That means one issue to fix all this shit. There's no way it's going to make sense. There's no way there's going to not be any questions or loopholes or issues. But at the end of the day, if and only if we get the result that we want and that we believe makes sense, I'm good with it. Because I can sit here and go in circles all day about, but they can't share mitochondrial DNA. And that's a fact and true. And I can still say, but they're his biological parents. So I don't care.
It's, I mean, let's see where it goes. Like, they make a specific point to be like, oh, is it like the mitochondrial DNA is passed on by the mother. So, but the other thing too, that like hints that this has, that hints to me, at least it has to be Kurt, is he makes a point to say at the very end of the issue that like love is not all you need, which is in direct reference to his conversation with Silver Sable, right, which like Mystique wouldn't know about. So
unless Kurt told her.
I mean, is Kurt going to be like, oh, by the way, the last thing that she said to me, very far-fetched.
But listen, if they've somehow, like, let's say they talk and they get her head basically more like Mystique, not just flipping her shell about baby, which, by the way, there was a page earlier in this issue where you see you have to read it because it's all just text, unfortunately. But it's Mystique basically telling Kurt that she knows she's out of her head. She knows her head isn't right. She knows she can't obsess over, she can't stop obsessing over this baby. But she also knows that that's the current situation she's in and she has to fucking deal with it, which to me, I do think that self-awareness and that understanding of she has to still survive somehow and make do with what she's got is Mystique. I think that is in character for her. I am interested to see why the fuck her head is so stuck like that. But I do also think that it would only make sense that somehow, some way, they get her head back right. And then Kurt and Mystique talk. And Kurt's like, I basically gotta go do this fucking thing that I don't want to do. And then they get on some level and they make a plan. And then I don't know. I feel like there's gotta be something, but you could be right. It could just be them pulling her leg. And it is Kurt the whole time because there is nothing clever here. Who knows?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that could happen. So, all right, now I'm going back to it being Mystique only because like Kurt made a point to talk about how she could make all these orifices to hide guns in. And it's like, if they were going to infiltrate Orcus, that's a great fucking way to do it.
Ding, ding, ding. Like, I'm telling you, this is not going to make sense. However they make this shit work, it's not going to make sense. We're all going to drive ourselves crazy trying to think of the logistics and the rationality. But that's what happens when Marvel finally decides, oh, fuck. Okay, let's make this work, guys. Make it work. You only get 5 issues and then a bonus issue to make this shit work. Figure it the fuck out. And that's all we get, which speaks to Marvel and editorial more than the writer in that case to me. Doesn't excuse any poor writing. Don't get me wrong. But again, Marvel editorial, I'm watching you.
And as well, you should. As well, you very well should. I'm trying to find the X-Men Origins preview because I wanted to ask you about a couple things I noticed in it and what you think about it.
I haven't even looked at that yet. So yes. Ask.
Oh, you haven't looked at it?
I don't think so. Unless I have and forgot.
So, okay. So we won't talk about it at length only because, you know, we're going to talk about the actual issue, you know, when it comes out, but a couple little things. So interestingly enough, there's a scene where you see Raven and like Baron Christian Wagner. And then there's a woman like right behind him who's wearing sunglasses like indoors, which is kind of interesting choice, right? Okay. Then you see Mystique is pregnant. And then there's a maid who's like right behind her who's also pregnant. And it's like, oh, that's interesting.
What?
Why would there be a maid pregnant at the same time that she's pregnant? And you know, like that's an interesting thing. And then the last thing I'll mention, or no, I'll mention two last things. She mentions, she talks about how like she was able to keep her human form for 2 years. And it was the baby that made her slip up. And Kurt was like, oh, it was the pain of childbirth. And she's like, no, it was the moment his skin touched mine. And it's like, oh, interesting that she's very clear to be like, it wasn't the birth that did it because I didn't birth him, maybe.
Ah, ha, ha, ha.
And then she, at the very end of the preview, she's like, I went back to the castle to get my wife, which means that Destiny was living there with her and the Baron.
Oh, yeah. No, that's totally her in the background with the shot of Raven pregnant. And then the back, you see the
pregnant woman maid. With,
yeah, the glasses on, the brown hair up. That's 1,000% Destiny. 1,000%.
The pregnant maid?
I don't know how it could be, but it looks like her. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. 100%.
That's got to be her. Also, I don't appreciate the half-naked shot of Azazel. No one asked for this. Take it away.
I know. It's just he's so gross. Like, there's just nothing about him that will ever appeal to me on any level, ever, period. There's just nothing.
No, he doesn't even go here.
He does not go here. Get him out of here, please. All right? Like, let him know his time is up and respectfully, please get out. Just like, you know, when Taylor Swift got kicked out of that Kennedy wedding.
But listen, this preview does pretty much clarify to me that at least Destiny will somehow be involved in being his biological parent along with Mystique. I don't know if they will completely undo Azazel, but it would only make sense because, again, what does Kurt have that Azazel has? A tail? Boo fucking who? Mystique's a shapeshifter. Like, he could get that from her somewhere, somehow. Who gives a fuck?
Exactly. So, like, yeah, I mean, like, I don't need Azazel. No, none of us, no one needs Azazel. Literally, no one needs him. He's useless. I'm so sorry, Azazel, but you're useless. We hate you.
I'm sorry you got involved in Kurt's parentage at all, because otherwise we wouldn't hate you as much, most likely, unless you did something worse. But, you know,
no, I'd find reasons. I'd find reasons. I mean,
Lisa's a proud Azazel hater.
He's just the worst. It's just a bad idea. It's just a bad idea. It's bad.
Bad idea.
It's bad. So anyway, I think that wraps up Uncanny Spider-Man number 4. There is one more Uncanny Spider-Man and X-Men Blue Origins that we're going to be covering soon. So get excited, ladies and gents.
I'm very excited. And also, if you fuck this up, Marvel, I will not forgive you. Thank you. I'm sorry. Literally. Listen, we're simply amazing and we're simply positive. But seriously, Marvel, don't fuck this up.
Me and Lauren have the entire Eastern Seaboard covered. So don't fuck it up, Marvel.
That's true. We do have it. So yeah, you don't want to fight the entire East Coast.
No, exactly. I mean, listen, we don't really have much of Florida, but Florida's doing its own fucking thing.
Oh, nobody wants Florida. Can they secede? Sorry if you live in Florida, people. You guys are hopefully the good ones. But listen, Florida is a menace.
They're just doing their own thing. So anyway,
Lord.
But yeah, so thank you guys for coming and joining us for another fabulous episode of Simply Amazing, where we talk about Nightcrawler and all the other topics. Lauren, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on everywhere, pretty much, at Friendly MBHTBI. That is for Twitter, Threads, Instagram. I have not been using Threads a lot. Blue Sky, which I also haven't been using, but it's there. So if somebody gives me a reason to use it more, I will. Because that's the whole point of social media, is to socialize at the end of the day. Nobody likes to say it because we all want to be tough and cool and nobody can hurt me. But social media is so we can socialize with each other. So I want to socialize with you guys. So come bother me.
I love that. Absolutely. I totally agree. Let's do this. Let's bother each other. And yeah, come find us on social media, on everything. We're on Twitter. We're on Blue Sky. We should do more on Blue Sky, but we're not doing it really, but we're everywhere. Right. Come find us, simplyamazingpod.com. That's our website that has all of our socials and other information. And if you're out there listening from Florida, like, what you doing, baby? There's 49 other states, but don't worry. You're still simply amazing.